Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthosensi.com to learn more about their services and to schedule an appointment, orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis, there. Hopefully your Monday has been going well, and we do appreciate you tuning into the show each and every week as we run down all the latest in hometown sports. And plenty to get to on the show this evening. We're certainly going to talk about the girls basketball sectional draw that took place in the state of Indiana yesterday evening. Plenty to get to, breaking down those matchups and sectionals, which we will spend quite a bit of time on. We're also going to talk just high school hoops in general. Got a couple notes in high school wrestling and swimming to get to as well. But I first want to start by going back to last Wednesday night. Myself and Bill Smith were out at South Dearborn High School to call the boys varsity basketball game between the Knights and the East Central Trojans. A big game, EIAC rivalry, a Dearborn County rivalry, and both teams jockeying for position within the EIAC, which we're going to talk about momentarily. But the wins and losses and things of that nature, battling in the EIAC, that all fell by the wayside about midway through the fourth quarter because a fan collapsed in the stands behind the South Dearborn bench, and the game was immediately halted, and that's when many people ran to the aid of this patient that obviously went through an unfortunate circumstance. Jake Steinmetz, one of those heroes on that particular evening, a South Dearborn athletic trainer who jumped right into action, performed CPR, used an AED, which was secured by assistant principal Kurt Bontrager. That was successful in reviving the patient. Jake also receiving some assistance from Tara Cutter, who was in the stands that night, who helped administer CPR. So those were some of the names, some of the people that were instrumental in saving a life this past Wednesday out at South Dearborn High School. That patient, they didn't release the identity of the patient, was transported to a local hospital. She was responsive in the gym, was able to talk with family members once she was at the hospital, and got further treatment. There was a lot of folks assisting at the scene, Aurora EMS, Aurora Police, Dearborn County Sheriff's Office, Hogan Fire, Lawrenceburg Medics, among those that responded to the call. Being there in the gym that night, a scary situation to say the least. At one point, we're looking down to our right, calling the action. Players come back down the court to our left and then kind of see out of the corner of the eye that there's a lot of commotion going on behind that South Dearborn bench. And as soon as they got play stopped, which was very quickly, and everyone sprung into action, it all happened very, very fast. But you could feel the air get sucked out of the gym because everybody was obviously concerned for the individual that they were attending to. But just goes to show you, we got some pretty awesome people in our neck of the woods that were able to jump into action, stay cool and calm under that incredible pressure and able to save a life. So kudos to all those that did jump into action that night. And we'll get back to talking about the sports here in just a moment. But obviously a great outcome on an otherwise very, very scary night at South Dearborn High School. And we did have to cut our broadcast short because the game was suspended. I think that was the obvious call to make from the refs and the administration there at South Dearborn High School. We'll talk about the suspended game and it resuming tomorrow here in just a moment. But we did our best to try to keep you informed on what was happening in the gym as it was happening, but also wanted to be respectful of letting everyone do their job and getting out of the way. So that's why we kind of hustled to get off the air, exit the gym so that the medical personnel could do their job, went back on the air to give a little update about how it went, and then that was it this past Wednesday from South Dearborn High School. And unfortunately, we will not be back at South Dearborn tomorrow when the game resumes. There's just going to be 5 minutes and 53 seconds of time left to be played in the fourth quarter, but South Dearborn is leading that game 46-31 with just under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. East Central got out to a blazing hot start in that first quarter. They scored 15 points, and then the offense went stagnant after South Dearborn changed from a zone defense to man-to-man. They really started to pressure the ball, made it a lot more difficult for East Central to score in the second and third quarters. And then the offense just slowly but surely started to get going for South Dearborn. Keep in mind, they were playing this game without two of their top scorers, Xander Schwab and Scout Gray. But speaking of Scout Gray, there was another freshman that stepped up in this game, Tyler Christian. 6 first-half points. He almost had that many fouls. He did have 4 going into the half, but he was a big boost off the bench for this South Dearborn team. Peyton Hill made a couple big threes in the second quarter, and then the guys that do it on a fairly consistent basis for South Dearborn, Brody Tiki, Hudson Shackelford, they really got it going in the second half. Tiki made 4 threes in the third quarter, scored 13 points. Shackelford, 2 points in the third quarter, but he scored all 5 points for South Dearborn to start that fourth quarter. So those star players started to really get it going in the second half, and South Dearborn was able to build a pretty significant lead going into what is going to be the last 5 minutes and 53 seconds of this game, which will resume tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Admission is going to be free for anybody that does want to view that final 5:53 from South Dearborn High School. But a very significant game. I know there's still a lot of basketball left to be played in the EIAC, but this is going to be a potential big win for South Dearborn, and that's good news for the rest of the conference because everybody's going to be jumbled up and still in contention for the most part on the EIAC standings. Franklin County and Rushville, maybe not so much in the conversation with 4 conference losses already, but South Dearborn stands to go to 2-2 if they can finish out this win. East Central would drop their first conference game of the season, going to 2-1, which means you would have 5 teams with 1 loss and South Dearborn with 2 losses. So that opens up the conference big time for all of these teams. Batesville suffering a loss to Connersville, who's essentially having a down year this year. They're 4-12 overall, but they're 3-1 in the conference, so still a player in the EIAC. You got a big game looming this Friday between Lawrenceburg and Greensburg. We'll have the call coming up on Friday, but that's going to go a long way to determining who may be in a position to win the conference at the end of the season and who's not going to be in that position. So I do think there's a chance that these teams beat up on each other throughout the rest of this season, but I still don't think any more than 3 losses is going to get you in consideration for the EIAC championship. So again, East Central still got 5:53 to work with tomorrow night. We'll see if they can make a big comeback. If they do, they'll stay at the top of the standings by themselves with Greensburg, Connersville, Lawrenceburg, and Batesville looking up with 1 loss. If the Trojans do end up losing, 5 teams with 1 loss. South Dearborn still in the picture with 2 losses. That makes for some incredible basketball down the stretch in the EIAC. So that's all we'll talk on EIAC basketball right now on the boys' side of things. We'll mention this quickly in the ORVC Southwestern, 3-0 on the season, 14-2 overall. Very good team in 2A. South Ripley, 2-0. They're having a nice season, 9-5. Cole Henry, Blaine Ward on a consistent basis, scoring a lot of points for that team. They're one to look out for. Jacksonville at 2-1. Rising Sun and Milan 0-1 in the conference. Switz and Shaw 0-2. So still plenty of basketball left to be played in the ORVC, but that's where the standings are as of right now. We'll run down the girls' standings quickly before we talk about the girls' basketball sectional draw. In the EIAC, Greensburg has it wrapped up 6-0 in the conference. One more conference game to go against Lawrenceburg on Thursday. I do think that'll be a good measuring stick game for Lawrenceburg as they prepare to host the sectional at the end of this month. So, again, Greensburg locking it up 6-0 in the EIAC. Batesville at 5-2. Franklin County, Lawrenceburg both 4-2. Connersville at 3-3. Rushville's 2-5. EC 1-5. South Dearborn 0-6. So the standings aren't going to shake up too dramatically after these final couple of regular season games. ORVC, things a lot more interesting. Jacksonville 4-0 and 17-4 overall, top 10 team in 1A. They've won 5 in a row. They have South Ripley and Southwestern looking up at them, both 4-1 in the conference, and all these teams going to meet up over these next few days to determine how this is all going to shake out. Jacksonville will be at South Ripley, at Southwestern to close out the regular season, so they have to beat both of those teams or at least split to have a chance at a share of the conference. South Ripley, they lost 2 points to Southwestern over the weekend. They play Jacksonville tomorrow. Would need to win that game to at least have a chance at a share of the title. And then Southwestern's at Jacksonville, as I mentioned. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how those games play out. It's kind of a mini round robin to end the season to see who the ORVC champ or champions is going to be. With that, let's take a short little break here, 90 seconds. We'll be back. We'll talk about the IHSAA girls basketball sectional draw. Got a couple more notes to get to, some high school swimming, some high school wrestling, and a couple of former basketball stars from the area doing some big things at college. We'll hit on that to round out the show. You're listening to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Our show presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. In the midst of that 90-second break, I decided I'm just going to hit on a couple of these quick stories before we get into the girls' basketball sectional draw. I'm sorry, I'm not purposely making you wait for that. Just makes more sense to transition into that and finish the show with it because we are going to spend quite a bit of time talking about girls basketball to end the show. In wrestling, I wanted to give a shout out to Milan and Franklin County, both teams undefeated regular seasons, so they're feeling good heading into sectional play this weekend. Special recognition to Milan coach Adrian Wilburn, getting his 200th victory as a coach over the weekend. Junior Caleb Wilburn accomplished his 100th career win, and thank you so much to our student stringer from Milan High School, Chloe Hunter, for putting together that story for us over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But we will have an eye on sectional play this Saturday. One particular sectional at South Dearborn going to feature a majority of our local teams. But out at Jennings County, watch out for that Switzerland County team. They are having a phenomenal season in their own right, and wouldn't be shocked to see them go win the championship at Jennings County. So we'll talk a lot more wrestling next week on the show, highlighting the individual champs, the team champs, the wrestlers that are going to be moving on to regional. That will be a big part of our show next Monday. Let's talk a little high school swimming now. Wanted to give a shout out to the Milan boys and girls swim teams for winning the ORVC. They accomplished this 2 weekends ago, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it on Crunch Time last week as we had some guests in studio. But I wanted to certainly give them their flowers and some of the individuals that performed well at the ORVC meet. Excuse me, Dylan Thomas, who's been breaking his own records left and right this season. JJ Mutz, Liam Horton, Parley Hartwell, Emily Knieven, Aiden Potts, Gabe Rigdon, Molly Connect, Maggie Hudepohl, and Macy Hansen, just to name a few. So congratulations again to the Milan swim team having a fantastic season. Another young man that's been performing well in the pool this year is out at Rising Sun, Max Mossberger, pretty much showing up on the ORVC report weekly, breaking records out there. I believe he's just a freshman or sophomore, by the way, so he's got some time to set some new PRs throughout the next couple of years. So more than likely not the last time that we will be talking about Max. And speaking of records, some Oldenburg Academy swimmers. Records, Nash King, Santiago Schutte, Sully Hill, and Noah Schenk set a school record in the 200 medley relay. And then you also had Schenk, Schutte, and King joined by Albert Hudepohl breaking the school record for the 400-yard freestyle. So been a lot of good action in the pool as of late here in southeastern Indiana as those swimmers trend toward postseason play as well. Just a couple more things before we talk girls basketball in the sectional draw from yesterday evening. A couple of IU East basketball players from southeast Indiana tearing it up there at the collegiate level up in Richmond, Indiana. Last week, we wrote a story about Colt Meyer, former Batesville Bulldog standout, reaching the 1,000 career point mark, 19.8 points per game to lead IU East this season. And, well, right after Colt gets his 1,000th point, another does. Jake Johnson, former Oldenburg Academy basketball star, he recorded his 1,000th career point against Shawnee Park last Tuesday. He led the Red Wolves in that game with a game-high 26 points. They did fall 91-78, but over 1,000 career points now mixed between his time at IU East and Bethel University. But so IU East, a lot of Southeastern Indiana flair. Chad Cox, who was a big standout for the Franklin County Wildcats, a 20-point-per-game scorer in high school, he's on the roster at IU East. A lot of people from this area know Toby Billups, who played point guard at Connersville. That's a good IU East basketball team right there, just with the Southeastern Indiana guys alone. So pretty cool stuff there if you ask me. And one thing that just popped into my mind that I feel the need to mention before we talk girls basketball to round out the show. The East Central Trojans football team been making the rounds in Indianapolis. I know we talked about them being featured during the Colts halftime show, during their regular season finale as they ran out on the field with the other state champs from this past football season. I've also got a chance to go to the State House. Of course, maybe it's facilitated by Randy Maxwell, who's there now himself. Dylan on the team, Randy being a coach. But anyways, they've got a chance to hang out with Secretary of State Diego Morales. We just put out a story today that Randy Linus welcomed them as well. And even former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence hanging out with the Trojans at the State House. So they've been making the rounds. They're in high demand, as they should be, winning back-to-back state football championships. So probably a pretty cool opportunity for the players that got to go up there, see the State House, talk with some of our state legislators, of course, meet the former vice president and governor of Indiana. That's got to be some cool stuff, good memories made for the Trojans. So with that, we can finally get to our featured story, I guess, on tonight's show, Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. The IHSAA revealing their sectional pairings for girls basketball yesterday evening, and I, like you, sat down and watched the show last night, wanted to see where our area teams were going to be paired with their respective sectional opponents, with a particular eye on the Lawrenceburg sectional. We'll get to that in just a moment. And if you followed the show, you know that I like to go from 4A down the list. So we will start with the Whiteland sectional, which will feature the East Central Trojans. A little bit different East Central team this year under longtime head coach Kevin Moore. He's admitted as much. It is a rebuilding year for his Lady Trojans after winning three of the last four sectionals that they played in. So it was a tremendous run over those 4 years, and we talked to Coach Moore before the season, and he even stated, you just don't have Hope Fox, Josie Trable, Lainey Baker walking into the gym in each and every class that you have. That's not a knock on who he currently has on the roster. It's just an indication of how good those players are. They're all playing college basketball. Josie Trable, Hope Fox were Indiana All-Stars. So, again, teams don't have that each and every year, so it is a different team, but as Coach Moore has indicated, he loves his group. They're going to play super hard on every single night, every single play. They're coachable. They're very athletic, play multiple sports, and they get after you defensively. That is one thing that I've seen from them consistently this year, and they've kind of had to play that way because of their lack of efficiency on the offensive end. But if you look at the breakdown, four juniors, three sophomores, three freshmen getting a bulk of the playing time. There are some seniors on the team, but they're just not seeing the game action that some of the younger players are, and I think that's by design. Coach Moore knows that he's in this rebuilding year, and he wants to get these young ladies as much playing time as possible this season so that they can grow together, because that's how they're going to have to become a better team, is to grow together. Sure, everyone's going to get better individually in the off season and leading up to next season, but being out there together, going through the growing pains right now, is only going to make this team stronger. 7-14 on the season is this East Central team. They're 0-2 against sectional opponents. They had a 36-25 loss against Columbus East, and a 40-30 loss to Columbus North. But they did get the best draw possible in this Whiteland sectional, as the top three teams in terms of the Sagarin and by record are on the bottom side of the bracket. So for East Central, they're going to play the first game on the 30th, 6 p.m. sharp against the host Whiteland, coming in at 9-11. Whiteland is the fourth highest rated team out of the six teams in this sectional at 147 in the Sagarin, East Central at 200. And if you look at these teams here for East Central, they're just going to have to play really, really good defense to advance in this tournament. They certainly have a winnable game there against Whiteland. This is a Trojans team that allows 38.9 points per game. Any other season, that would be absolutely fantastic. But the problem is they're only averaging a little over 31 points per game. So that's been the downfall of this team. They just don't have that go-to score or the two or three scores that are going to get you double digits on a particular night. Out of the 21 games they've played, they've scored 40-plus points only four times. So again, not a great recipe for success, but the way that they play defense, that does travel. If they can go up to Whiteland, hold Whiteland down to around the 30-point margin or maybe even below, because they have done that to teams this season, they will give themselves a fighting chance to win. You got Columbus East at 5-15 waiting in the second round. They were one of the two teams that got a bye along with Columbus North. Again, they did lose 36-25 to Columbus East earlier in the season, but that is the team that is the closest to them in the Sagarin rating at 158. So again, I give East Central a fighting chance to win these two games and get into the sectional championship. That's when we're having a different conversation, because you have Franklin Community that's in this sectional. They have won three sectional titles in a row. 19-2 overall. They are the number six team in Class 4A. They lost in the regional last year by a couple points. They were the state runner-up the year before and went to the semi-state the year before that. They have nine seniors on their roster. They average 62 points per game and allow only 39.9. So they are the big-time favorite in this sectional, number seven in the Sagarin. That is regardless of class. Shelbyville at 79, Columbus North at 82 would be the two teams they have to go through to get to the final, but I would pretty much bank on Franklin playing for the sectional championship on Saturday, February 3rd. So there's a little breakdown on the Whiteland sectional featuring the East Central Lady Trojans. Now let's talk about Class 3A Sectional 29, going to be hosted here in Lawrenceburg, and the draw is as follows. South Dearborn drawing Batesville. They will play Game 1 on the 30th. That'll be a Tuesday 7 p.m. start. Doubleheader on Wednesday. Number 7, Greensburg takes on Franklin County in Game 1, followed by Rushville taking on the host Tigers. Connersville receiving the bye. They will play the winner of South Dearborn and Batesville. So, starting with the sectional standings, it is the EIAC sectional minus East Central. Greensburg 6-0 against these sectional opponents. Lawrenceburg and Franklin County both 3-2. Batesville 4-3. Connersville 3-3. Rushville 1-5. And South Dearborn 0-5. So obviously Greensburg standing head and heels above everybody else in this sectional based on their head-to-head records. For Lawrenceburg, Franklin County, Batesville, Connersville, those four teams in the middle of the pack have all beaten up on each other this season. So it is open to a degree. You don't necessarily want to meet Greensburg in any capacity. Number 7 team in 3A, 16-4 on the season. Number 24 in the Sagarin regarding of class. Batesville's at 117, Franklin County at 119, Connersville at 151, Lawrenceburg 174, Rushville 214, South Dearborn 275. Pretty big discrepancy there between Greensburg and the remaining teams. They're almost 100 point, not points, they're almost 100 spots ahead of Batesville in the overall state rankings. So just goes to show you how good of a team Greensburg has this season. But they are seeking their first sectional title since 2020. That's a long drought for a program like that. They've lost to Rushville each of the last 3 years. Rushville graduated a really good senior class. A little bit down this year, maybe similar situation to East Central at 7-15, similar record as well. So Greensburg flips to being the favorite this year, as Rushville kind of has been the past few years, particularly playing on their home floor. Leah West, Miley Wilkerson, look no further than those two young ladies. They are the real deal. But that first-round matchup taking on 13-7 Franklin County, going to be a good one. Franklin County's a young team. Nicole Mears, the lone senior, but a very good one. Perhaps the best player in the EIAC, averaging 18.6 points per game this year. Ruby Singer has been great as a sophomore, 12.4 points per game. That looks to be the best of the three first-round matchups. That is worthy of a sectional championship-type game. They did play earlier in the season. Greensburg won the game by about 18 points. Neutral site, sectional, anything can happen. That should be a good one. Looking at South Dearborn, 3-18, certainly going to be an uphill battle taking on Batesville in the first round as the Bulldogs are 13-9 on the season. Batesville's got a young group, just one senior, but a junior Allison Peters, that's one to watch in this tournament. Averages double figures, a very, very good player. Batesville's having a really nice season. Certainly South Dearborn, the biggest underdog here in this sectional. They will give it all that they got in this game. I have no doubt, and beyond, if they get past Batesville, of course, it goes without saying. I like to talk about Natalie Cantrell and Bernadette Wisman off the top. Talking about this team, those are the two that kind of make things go for South Dearborn. When those two are playing well, they're in a position to win ball games, not only with their scoring prowess on offense, their aggressiveness getting to the basket, but they can certainly get after you on the defensive end as well and turn defense into offense. If Gracie Messmore is on, particularly from long distance, that gives you kind of a triple threat for South Dearborn. And, you know, they got some other players that are certainly key contributors. Lakota Vincent, what we saw her do at the Rivertown Classic, particularly rebounding the basketball. Very impressed by how tenacious she can be. So this is a team that's not going to be an easy out. They're going to fight all the way. Like I said, underdog, sure, but they're going to give it everything they got in that first-round matchup, so Batesville cannot take them lightly. Looking at Lawrenceburg, the host, the ladies are looking forward to being the home school for the sectional, as we talked to Coach White and a few of his star players last week on Crunch Time, talking about the Rivertown Classic Championship. They know how to cut down the nets at the Rivertown. They've done it 8 years in a row. The sectional has been a little bit more difficult for the Tigers to navigate, and they'll take on that Rushfield team that's a little down this year in the first round. And this is a Lawrenceburg team. They have four primary players that are holdovers from last year. Natalie Caniga, Cameron Ferreira, they serve as the seniors on the team. Even though they are juniors, they have the most playing experience, very good players as well. They're super sophomores, Aubrey Labazo, Brooklyn Craig, very big part of this team as well. Craig's been out with an injury here as of late. Her health is going to be a big key for Lawrenceburg if they are going to advance and ultimately win the sectional. As a sophomore, averaging, you know, between 14, 16 points per game. She took a big jump from her freshman season, can really hit the three ball, does a good job of getting to the basket and to the free throw line as well. So I really like this Lawrenceburg team. I think they got a lot of talent and can certainly make a little bit of a run. If they do get past Rushville in the first round, I think that semifinal game is going to feel like a sectional championship game, whether it be Greensburg or Franklin County, because that's going to be a tough matchup one way or another. But if you want to face facts, it's going to be tough for anybody to win this sectional because there are a lot of good teams. Look at Batesville and Connersville at the top of the bracket. Connersville just has to win one game to get into the finals. Haley Simbach, a very good player, back to the basket down low. Nia Bennett, who we watched last year at the sectional, one of the fastest players I've seen at the high school level. A sophomore, really good player. And Serenity Pennington, another sophomore for Connersville, really standing out this season too. So should be a fascinating sectional. We're going to be there. We'll certainly bring you the South Dearborn Batesville game on January 30th. We'll be there to call the Lawrenceburg Rushfield game as well. And we hope to be calling games into the weekend at the Lawrenceburg sectional. Again, sectional play going to run January 30th through February 3rd. Let's take a look at the North Decatur sectional in 2A. You got South Ripley 5-0 against sectional opponents. North Decatur at 2-1, Switzerland County 2-2, Milan 1-4, and Hauser 0-3. North Decatur actually has the best Sagarin, though, at 146. South Ripley's at 197. Switz 252, Milan 297, can't read my own writing, and Hauser at 328. South Ripley, three sectional titles in a row. Reese Obendorf, 11.6 points per game. Lydia Cornett, Claire Samples, that's their big three. When those three are playing well, South Ripley, tough to beat. Got a good draw because they are already in the semifinals, got the bye, and they will play the winner of Hauser and Switzerland County. Based on the Sagarin and seeing Switzerland County in person, I believe Switzerland County is going to be a big favorite to win that opening contest. I really like Hallie Archer, Courtney Higgins, Bree Stowe. Archer can get after you defensively, score the basketball really well. Higgins does a great job running the point, distributing the basketball, can score herself. And Stowe, a deadly knockdown shooter. So I look for that Switzerland County-South Ripley semifinal matchup to be a good one. Then you got North Decatur taking on Milan in the other semifinal, just a five-team sectional there at North Decatur. So quick note there, South Ripley did defeat North Decatur 48-35 in November. North Decatur's got a couple of 14-plus point-per-game scorers in Maddie Allen and Ella Kunz. So good players there at North Decatur. That's always a tough place to play. Looks like maybe a three-team race there in 2A. At the 1A level, Washington, you got Rising Sun, the featured leader, 7-12 on the season. Did get one of the two byes. They'll play the winner of Crothersville and Shaw. Shaw is the third highest rated team in the Sagarin in this sectional at 258. Trinity Lutheran, number one. They've had a stranglehold on this sectional in recent memory. 176 is their Sagarin. New Washington second at 238, Rising Sun fourth at 259, Medora is fifth at 375, and Crothersville is last at 378. So Rising Sun, pretty decent draw if they end up matched up with Shaw. They are neck and neck in the Sagarin. They're actually going to play each other on Thursday night, so a good measuring stick game for both of those two teams. Trinity Lutheran looks to be on a collision course with New Washington in the semifinal, but until Trinity Lutheran loses this sectional, it is theirs to win. I do like this Rising Sun team. I've gotten a chance to see them a few times already this season. Alyssa Simpson, one of the best players in our region, walking double-double, has been leading the ORVC in points and rebounds all season long. Jenna and Jalen Peelman, very good players. Jenna, the second leading scorer on the team, a good ball handler for them as well. Talented Rising Sun team, one of the more talented teams I think they've had in recent memory. So I give them a really good shot to get to the sectional final. And will this be the year someone takes down Trinity Lutheran in the 1A world? And one final bracket to break down at Southwestern Shelbyville will be South Decatur matching up with Edinburgh in the first round. The winner will play number 7, Jacksonville, who got the bye. Southwestern Shelbyville will take on number 13, Oldenburg Academy, and Waldron and Morristown will play the winner of that game. Fascinating sectional because the two top teams are from the area, that being Jacksonville and Oldenburg. And, well, there's kind of been a little bit of a triangle going on in this sectional. As South Decatur lost to Oldenburg Academy, Oldenburg Academy lost to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville lost to South Decatur. Those are the three top teams in the Sagarin. Jacksonville's at 98, Oldenburg Academy at 149, South Decatur at 207. South Decatur and Oldenburg Academy 5-1 against sectional opponents, Jacksonville 4-1. So it looks like one of those three teams may be the winner in this particular sectional. They're certainly going to be favored. Jacksonville just doing their thing as they always do, 17-4 on the season. Julia Meyer, one of the best players in our region, 14 points per game, 8 rebounds. Reagan Hughes, Kelsey Borgman, both double-digit scorers as well for Oldenburg Academy. First year with Coach David Disbro at the helm there, coming over from East Central after a 20-plus year career there, winning a ton of games and is already instilled that winning attitude in the Lady Twisters. Kate Weber, Rachel Sutman, Gina Grote, among the top players for the Twisters. I think Oldenburg going to be able to navigate the bottom half of this bracket pretty easily. Looking at Jacksonville and South Decatur in the semifinals, winner there playing Oldenburg in the sectional championship. That's kind of how I see it falling. So that one should be fascinating out at Southwestern. And I think we got a lot of good teams in the area and should be some good basketball coming up with the sectional. Again, January 30th through February 3rd, we will start our coverage at Lawrenceburg with that 3A sectional following South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg most closely. So we'll have more information about those broadcasts coming up very, very soon. In the meantime, we'll get you set for high school basketball this Friday. Lawrenceburg at Greensburg, boys basketball tilt in the EIAC. I wish I had more time to break that one down, but I am out of time. Actually went over time this evening on Crunch Time. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you tune in this Friday. Myself and Mike Perleberg will have the call of that Greensburg-Lawrenceburg game. We just appreciate you continuing to support high school athletics with your hometown radio station. It's Eagle Country 99.3.